Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's meditation is the gospel lesson, and we'll be focusing on one of the verses, John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Here ends our text. Dear friends in Christ, I mean, we've seen this verse on the sides of football stadiums during games. We've seen it on bumper stickers. I mean, I've even seen it from trailers flying from planes in the air. And now today, it's our sermon text. So what can we say about such a beloved and well-known verse? Let's take a look at some of the key words along the way. God loved the world. The world. John talks a lot about the world all through his gospel. In the first few verses, we learn that Jesus, as the Word, had created the world, and yet when he came, tragically, the world did not recognize him as its creator. Now, part of that's because the devil had taken over as ruler of this world, and so Jesus tells Pontius Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus says of his followers, they do not belong to this world, just as I do not belong to the world. The world remains blind to the truth and hostile to God, his Son, and even to his followers. Just after our gospel text today, John adds, this is a judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Now, don't we get a glimpse of this at times when we try to share with other people about Jesus Christ as our Savior? I mean, sometimes this glassy look comes over their eyes and they dismiss what they're saying, what we're saying. They just don't understand or relate. I mean, it's pretty clear when the subject of Jesus Christ comes up that the minds of most people remain in the darkness of unbelief. They refuse to recognize the God of Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe they're afraid of their deeds being exposed. I mean, they're perishing, as John put it. And yet, despite this world's hostility and rejection, God still loved the world. Loved. John's gospel is a love story. And it's a story of love for all people. God loved the world and would not give up on it. What God was doing 2,000 years ago in time and space was something for all people, as wicked or as lost they may be. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. No matter how evil or sinful you may be, no matter what you have done, no matter how unlovable you may feel that you are, God loved the world, the entire world. And that means that God loves you. I mean, you really could paint on a sidewalk in downtown Chicago, God loves you. Because he really does. And he showed it with his Son, his one and only Son. After all, we're not talking about just any God. We're talking about the one true God, the God of Jesus Christ. John starts his story with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is none other than the Son of God, himself, likewise, God. And that means that there can be no access to God apart from the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this message scandalized the Jews of Jesus' day and led to the charge of blasphemy. At one point, Jesus healed a lame man on the Sabbath, and he told his Jewish interrogators, you know, my Father's working, and I also am working. And you know, they recognized what he was saying, and they sought to kill him. And why? Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. As Jesus said, the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father. No one can come to the Father apart from the Son. And this is why the Father gave his only Son. So that the world might come to know him as God and experience eternal life. In a world full of sex, cults, worldviews, and religions, there's only one path to God. John 3:16 and his exclusive emphasis on Jesus Christ is still scandalous for our world today. And yet it's a truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If we reach behind the scandal, though, we see how deep God's love for us actually is. Although the Son, the Word, was God, God the Father still loved the world to the point of sending his one and only Son to save it. He was willing to suffer separation from his Son for our sakes. Now, this is no ordinary father-son relationship. This is the love of the triune God. The very love that God the Father has for God the Son. One God. And yet the Father was willing to sacrifice his own Son for us. Imagine that on a Trinity Sunday. How do you explain the infinite love of God directed toward us? That's how valuable we are to our God. The next time you find yourself alone or depressed, remember the intense love that caused God the Father to sacrifice his own Son for you. He sacrificed. God loved the world and gave his one and only Son. Gave. It was a gift. It was a free, unmerited gift. And it had to be that way. Jesus was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The only way that anyone could be restored or redeemed out of this dark, evil world of hostility is by the power of God. And so John continues, "But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God." No one ever decided for Jesus or accepted him, contrary to what our Baptist friends say. This was not something of anyone's own will or power. No one can accept Jesus. We were lost in the darkness of this world. We were perishing in our sins. God had to give frail, lost humanity the power to believe. Faith is probably the greatest miracle God ever worked in this world. John opened his gospel with the words, "In the beginning." And it really was. The Creator entered into his creation to create something anew and afresh. He was creating faith in the hearts of his people. And it really was a new beginning for us. And faith has its rightful object. For John, the greatest moment in all history was when Jesus was lifted up on the cross at Calvary. You may remember Moses had lifted up a bronze serpent in the wilderness centuries earlier. And every Israelite who gazed on that snake was saved from death. Jesus was lifted high over the world on the cross, and all whose eyes are on him are saved from the poison of their sins. It's a powerful sight that transforms people. For John, it was a moment when Jesus was glorified. He exercised his rule by defeating death. Whereas Jesus predicted three times in Mark's gospel he had to suffer and die, in John's gospel three times Jesus predicts he must be lifted up and that this would be his glory. As Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it back up." Those who gaze on the crucified Christ gaze on the Lord of life and death, and he creates life in that very moment. The God who gave his one and only Son now gains in return many sons and daughters a new family. And there is the inheritance of the Father whom they've come to know, the inheritance of eternal life. Eternal life. When Lazarus died, Jesus immediately went to his tomb. On the way, Martha met Jesus and announced her confidence that her brother would rise from the dead at the last day in the resurrection. Jesus looked at her and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." You know, Martha just assumed that all this was going to take place at the last day, at the resurrection, in the future. But that day she witnessed her own brother walk out of the tomb alive. And now we begin to see what John 3:16 means when it says that those who believe in Jesus have, present tense, eternal life. We don't have to wait. Our future's already been set in Christ. Our new life has already begun. The future is taking shape already in the present. And so, we come to our last word, believe. In the verses right after our gospel text, anyone who believes in him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he's not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is a judgment. The light has come into the world. And the people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. The judgment is taking place already now. As people hear the message about Jesus Christ, their future is taking place. Their future judgment, it's at that very moment. They either, by the power of God, come to believe, or by their own power, reject and perish. As John said at the very beginning of his gospel, in him was life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Now, I doubt I've said anything here today that you wouldn't already have guessed. There are just some passages that speak wonderfully and clearly to all people from all walks of life, from all cultures. From a child, we've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise to the message of our salvation. John 3:16 is one of those passages that even the smallest child could understand and that testifies to our Lord and Savior. Only the Lord knows who among us here is still living under the shroud of darkness and death. Are you still living in darkness? Or are you living in the light of God's love? We simply have to ask ourselves where our gaze is set right now. On the cross of Christ or somewhere else? John 3:16 has the power to change your life. God is penetrating the darkness of this world and your life to remind you that the world stands already condemned to eternal death by its sins. But God nevertheless loved you in spite of yourself and in spite of all your sins. He sent his beloved only Son to change your life, or better, to give you life, eternal life. He creates in you the faith that always clings to the cross, so you have the absolute certainty that you too will be raised at the last day and will live forever. Amen. John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.